Have a look at Paul that Jesus took care of. Acts, chapter 18, verses 5 to 11. Let us turn to a book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 5 to 11. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent. For I'm with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. It has been reported that there are more than 600,000 shamans and more than 200,000 fortune tellers in Korea right now. The figures are unbelievably big, when considering the fact that we live in a scientifically, technologically, digitally advanced and modern world like nowadays. Talented politicians, businessmen carry their charms against evils on their backs. Moreover, the professors, who are renowned in their fields of expertise, I heard they also see shamans, fortune tellers to find out about their destinies and future. I hope you will not also take this lightly and even for fun, never ever go to these kinds of people. Do not ask shamans and fortune tellers about your future. This is being tricked by evil spirits. A lot of people search these kinds of answers and this means that people are worried about their future and they do not feel at peace. That proves it. People of modern days, they seem to have abundant resources and they seem that they have plenty of things. But they live in an age where there is a high degree of uncertainty. Spiritually they feel empty, mentally they are insecure and as if something is chasing after them, they wonder and feel lost. There is pleasure but there is no peace. There is material abundance but there is no satisfaction. The Bible says that this is all because basically people have left from God. Human beings that have left from God have no satisfaction in life and always feel insecure, just like a young child that has lost his or her parents. So, people try to have some rest by being obsessed with anything that pleases them. They wander around as well in order to do that. Some people are obsessed with money and they seek satisfaction from it, and some people are obsessed with fame and they seek satisfaction from it. Some people are obsessed with worldly, secular pleasures and they seek satisfaction from these. But how many people have real satisfaction and feel pleased from deep within, in reality? People have these things but there is no genuine satisfaction, no real peace, and they wander around in insecurity. How many people are like these out there? Last year's figure says that in last year alone, 14,427 people have committed suicides. That is 40 people a day. We live in a way better world compared to before, financially more abundant, we have more than before, but a number of suicides increases even more. The reason for this is that there is no satisfaction. For no reason, the life is insecure and there is no peace. Pascal said that there is an empty room in the heart of human beings. He said that only Jesus Christ can fill this empty place fully. That is right. Until Jesus controls the center of the heart, there is neither peace nor real satisfaction. The main passage of today is about the second mission trip of Paul. The passage focuses on the end part of Paul's trip and it talks about the progress of Paul's evangelism in the village of Corinth. We can see that Paul was obsessed with Jesus. After Paul met Jesus, he found happiness, found a real purpose to live, and always he was full of joy and hope of the heaven. He found the way in life and he knew the answer for life. These answers were found after he met Jesus. He knew that every answer to the questions were in the gospel. So he was so into telling the gospel. Paul was a strong man. We can see that he was not fearful of death even. How did Paul become so powerful and strong then in the first place? It was since he met Jesus in Damascus, and since he experienced the grace through the cross. Through the cross, he began to communicate with God, and through the cross, he had a relationship with God and experienced grace. The peace and happiness that Paul has confessed about are not from the possessions, knowledge, and fame or titles which the people of these days value highly. Paul did not find joy in material things of the world. He found true joy by communicating with God actively and spiritually being alert through the cross. So in Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, he said, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In the 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "For I resolved to know nothing, while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." What are you obsessed with now in your life? Like Paul, I hope you will be obsessed with Jesus only. Paul's life, which was obsessed with Jesus, can be described in three ways. First of all, more than anything, Paul was obsessed with the words of God. Let us look at verse 5 together. Verse 5 says this: "When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ." Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching. The depth of faith depends on the degree of being immersed by the words of God. The depth of faith is linked to whether we are obsessed with the words of God. The words of God are like the food for our souls. Also, these are the standards of life, like a plumb line. These are the lights for our paths ahead of us. So the disciples put the words this way. They said, "Where would we go without the words of God?" To listen to the words, a lot of people were gathered together. Through the words of God, evil spirits left from them, illnesses were cured, big waves were calmed down, and the problems in life were solved. The faith grows by listening to the words of God. In Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." The heaven and the earth were created by the words of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, according to John, chapter 1, verse 14. What is the most important for believers is the Word of God. Therefore, in Revelations, chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it, and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." Take words to heart. Draw words in the Bible closer. From the words, answers to life will pour out, like a spring of water. When I face some difficulties, I pray to God, so that I can find the answers to the problems in the Bible. Whenever I do that, I experience that God gives me wisdom to remember the verses. Peter was like that, too. He remembered the word of God and he repented fully in tears. These days, modern churches do not put importance in the word of God, but they only are seeking the answers to the problems. It has lost its essence. Then what was the story that made Paul obsessed with the word of God? Firstly, it was about testifying that Jesus is the Christ. Let us look at verse 5. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. To preach and testify to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, the Bible says that Paul was obsessed. If people are obsessed with the right things, people would be successful. Because people are obsessed with the wrong things, this becomes a problem. Jesus means that he is a savior that saves his people from sins. It is Jesus that came to save us. We were going to eternally die due to our sins. Jesus came to save us. And Paul testified that Jesus is the Christ. Christ means the Anointed One and another word, the Messiah. In the Old Testament, three kinds of people were the Anointed Ones. Firstly, the chief priests, the prophets and the king. In other words, a word Christ means that Jesus, that came to this earth and is the one, that forgives our sins and blesses us. He is the chief priest, a prophet, that guides our paths towards God, the King of Kings that protects and rules over his people. Paul was obsessed with the fact that Jesus came to us as the chief priest, a prophet and the King of Kings, and he was obsessed with testifying this fact. Paul had a correct understanding about the gospel. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ died on the cross to solve the problems of the sins, and by the resurrection, he solved the problems of death, and by ascending to the heaven, he took control over the evil spirits who ruled over the realms of the heaven. Right now he sits on the right side of God, prays for us, and prepares places for us, and by sending the Holy Spirit, he walks with us right at this moment. And the Lord will come back to us. When we believe in this fact and accept this, he gives us the right to become the children of God. This is the gospel. It has been said that Paul understood the gospel and was obsessed with the gospel. Paul was obsessed with telling the truth to the Jews, that Jesus is the Christ. The Jews at the time did not believe in Jesus. But, Jesus is the peace, rest and the answer in life. It is because Jesus is the high priest, prophet and Christ who is the King of Kings. Jesus came to give us peace. John, chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." If we believe in Jesus, we get given peace. How many people are out there who do not have peace, even though they have a lot of possessions? An experiment was carried out with two mice. They were put in the exactly same environment, and were fed with the exactly same food. But they turned on a peaceful music for only one mouse and fed him. After about 6 months, the fur of the mouse was healthy and was shiny. The other mouse was tapped on the head with a stick whenever this mouse was fed with food. This mouse was stressed out, and in 6 months' time, the fur became all dry and fell to pieces. Later it has been found out that the cancer cells were all spread out all over the body of this mouse. A little animal like this had cancer cells spread all over its body. When the life was not at peace, then would it be any different for a human being? There was a writer named Haruyama Shigeru of Japan. He was interested in the health issues. For 30 years, he wrote books about health, and came up with 6 kinds of conditions to have health. He said, "In order for a human being to be healthy, we need to keep in mind these 6 things. Firstly, ensure that the body does not get tired. Secondly, have a plenty of sleep. Thirdly, control your appetite. Fourthly, do not be angry. Fifthly, continue to use the brain. Sixthly, do the right amount of exercise." But after 30 years have passed, this person has written a new book titled A Great Revolution in the Brain World. He said that he did not know previously about one more thing, that is the most essential for a human being. He said that is the peace at heart. And he viewed that the influence on health of a human being that the peace at heart has is about 55% in proportion. Even though everything else is good and perfect, but if a person has lost its peace at heart, then the whole health stumbles. That is right. Solomon also has said that the peace at heart can serve as the medicine for the body, but the worries of heart has the power to dry up the bones of a human being even. What is the substance of peace? That is Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give us peace. On the day that he came to earth as well, the angels sang the songs with the lyrics saying, "Glory be in the heaven and peace on earth." Jesus, the first word after the resurrection was, "Peace be with you." The mission of the believers is testifying Jesus. It has been said that Paul was obsessed because of this. It has been said that for this reason, Paul was obsessed. I hope you will testify Jesus whoever you come across. This is the life of a witness. Also, spread the gospel but do not be afraid. Boldly testify it. Let us look at verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent." The Lord appeared in a vision and said this in a chaotic moment. He appeared at a place of chaos and persecution and spoke to Paul. Do not be afraid. Where does fear come from? In the 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." When we try to solve the problems with our own strength, we feel pressured, we feel insecure and we are afraid. When Goliath attacked the Israelites, Saul and other people were horrified. They did not look unto God and they relied on their own strength. They only looked at their circumstances. Have you seen a young child feeling scared when the parents are beside him or her? But when a mother leaves from this toddler, he or she thinks that this is the end of the world. Even for a short moment, the toddler cries out in fear and in insecurity. We live in a world where we are unable to predict the future, not even a little further. When we think that we are alone, we also feel insecure and fearful. But when we have a guide that walks with us, we would not feel scared. Then walk with Jesus Christ. The Lord that appeared in a vision said to Paul, "Do not be afraid." This is a promise of the Lord that He will take care of all. Then where does power that overcomes the fear come from? The 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. The power only comes from the faith. Faith gives us boldness and courage. Have a look at the battle between Goliath and David. When Goliath appeared, King Saul and the Israelites, all of them got so terrified. No one could volunteer to stand in front of Goliath to fight against him. They all trembled in fear. But at that moment, David volunteered to fight against Goliath. It was not because David was good at winning the battle. David believed in the greater power of God that controls the circumstances. David did not feel scared of Goliath. David knew the answers that would allow him to have a victory. A person that knows about the answers to the problems does not feel scared or anxious. David that appeared in front of Goliath shouted aloud, "I will fight in the name of Jehovah. This is not my strength. This is a confession of faith that I will fight by the strength of God." In the world we live in, there are many instances that we are exposed to these kinds of tests. Numerous times, we are put in situations where we need to fight against the people like Goliath. When we are put in these kinds of situations, then like David had done, look unto God that would enable us to overcome the difficult situations. This is faith. Faith has given us victory, not the weapons or the military power. The 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 47 says, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands." In the 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 50, it says, "So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand he struck down the Philistine and killed him." The Bible says that when David killed Goliath, there was no sword in the hand of David. What is your fear at the moment? A fear about future career path, a fear about running businesses, a fear about health, a fear about the future ways for the children, and so on. There would be so many things that you fear about. If we look at our reality and the given situations, then we would surely fear about these things. However, the Lord that appeared in a vision said to Paul, "Do not be afraid." A person that knows the answers does not fear the problems. The answer is in the verse 10. It says, "For I'm with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." It was a promise that the Lord will be with him. Do not be afraid, do not be silent and tell others. It was a promise that the Lord will be with him. Out of all the verses in the Bible, Whenever the word that says the Lord will be with you, whenever I see this come up, I feel the most confident and I feel at peace the most. Because this is a promise of God, that He will take care of all. The Lord appeared in a vision in today's word, and promised us that He will be with us. I will share a short parable with you briefly. A father took his son deep into the forest, to train him to grow his boldness. Father then left the son alone in the forest and returned home by himself. In a pitch dark night, a wild animal appeared in front of the son. The son got so scared and trembled in fear. The wild animal got nearer and nearer to the son. The son got extremely scared. But at that moment, out of a sudden, a shooting sound was heard. The animal was knocked down. And there was a voice of the father. "My son, I am here." The father did not return home, but behind the tree, he was watching over the son all night to protect his son. That is right. Jesus sent his disciples away and the Lord was watching over the disciples. Luke, chapter 10, verse 18 says, "He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Have a look at the amazing miracles which had happened when the Lord was present. Luke, chapter 10, verses 18 to 19 says, "He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." The Satans fell and gave up in front of the Lord according to the Bible. 70 members in the mission team were in joy and reported to the Lord, "Lord, Satans fell and gave up in the name of the Lord. Jesus said that I was watching you all, and saw that Satans fell from the heaven like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." He sent his disciples to the world and the Lord was always with them. The unchanging fact is that the Lord will never leave you. Live on the side of God. God is with you. When Paul was testifying to the people that Jesus is Christ, there were a lot of pressures and persecutions. In that kind of situations, the Lord appeared to him in a vision, and comforted him by saying, "Do not be afraid, I will be with you. No one will stand against you." Would this be the vision that appears in front of Paul only? The Lord gives us the sign that He is with us these days as well and at this moment, too. My dear family in Christ, what are you obsessed with in your life? The fame, titles, possessions and youth, all of these are not eternal. Let us live just like Paul had lived. Let us be obsessed with Jesus. When we are obsessed with the Lord, there would be no fear. We will experience that the Lord is with us. The Lord never will leave your side. He will guarantee and supply all you need for your future. He said in Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I bless you all in the name of Jesus, that you will live your life obsessed with Jesus and that you will live your life on the side of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.